there's so much hype around the Artemis II space mission. I thought I would just break it down for you and explain the only real reasons why the United States or any country is interested in space technology. There are really only three reasons. None of them have anything to do with the advancement of science or being heroic or, you know, leading innovation. Those are all just BS cover stories. There are only three reasons to go to space. Number one is weapons dominance. So military technology, and of course, as you know, the Earth is at the bottom of a giant gravity well created by the mass of Earth. And the high ground is anything above Earth. And that would include the moon, of course. So the moon is important as a military base. The moon is important as an observation base. The moon is important to place gravity detectors, which can theoretically detect faster than light travel. Well, it's not theoretical. That's just a fact. So the reason there's so much interest in the moon in particular is because, well, that's where it's an obvious place to put weapons, to do catapult-launched weapons of mass that can pound targets on Earth. Okay, so that's number one. The second reason to go to space is in search of minerals. That would be space mining. Now, the economics of space mining don't make any sense right now. It's still orders of magnitude more expensive to mine something in space, you know, an asteroid, let's say, and bring it back to Earth, compared to just mining on Earth. So for now, Earth mining, for a long time, Earth mining will remain the dominant form of mining, but mining in outer space actually makes sense in order to acquire materials for moon bases. Because, you know, bringing those materials back to Earth requires a tremendous amount of energy and risk. You know, to bring something back to the bottom of a large gravity well is actually, it takes a lot of energy to do that. You know, because you can't just throw it down at Earth. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can build a capsule of some kind, have it re-enter, and then have parachutes, right? But there's still a lot of energy that goes into the construction of all of that. And it would just make those minerals ridiculously expensive, even if you could find them and mine them out of asteroids, which itself is an extremely difficult and costly endeavor. However, in the long run, I'm talking 100 years, mining minerals out of asteroids could be a viable source for materials for non-Earth bases, is my point. But that's so far in the future, it's not really relevant to the reason that governments are exploring space right now. All right, the third reason is because of course, orbital AI data centers and the fact that in space you have access to a tremendous amount of solar energy, if you're going to stick with solar panels, because of course they're still covering up zero point energy and cold fusion and hot fusion and whatever else. So they're sticking with solar energy as the only thing that really works. But you know, the Earth itself only gets hit with a very tiny, tiny fraction of the sun's total output, obviously. Just look at the physics of it, look at the geometry. So you can put data center satellites in orbit, and they can harvest, you know, a lot more energy. Just depends on how much you can build and launch. And that comes down to the cost per kilogram of mass to place it into orbit. And that cost is coming down substantially. Some of that credit goes to SpaceX because of their development of reusable launch vehicles. That alone cut the cost of launching into orbit by a factor of roughly 10x. But we need still another 10x, and I'm not sure what tech is going to get us there. Ultimately, we need to roll out, you know, gravity propulsion technology, which is just basically, you know, space-time warping tech that, yeah, it exists. I mean, the U.S. government already possesses all that stuff, Area 51 and etc. But they don't want to roll it out yet because, I don't know, maybe it's just too powerful, or they don't want humanity to have that advancement yet. So, you know, they're sticking with chemical rocket motors and solar panels, which are all pretty low tech, actually. But anyway, once it's more economically feasible to launch data centers into orbit, then you're going to be able to have a massive expansion of AI technology in orbit. Whereas right now, the data centers on Earth are limited by the, you know, the power grids that are being overtaxed, at least in the United States, especially on the Eastern power grid. It's wildly overtaxed. And so the only real way to tap into more power without, well, you know, you're going to suffer the wrath of U.S. citizens if you tap into the power grid here on Earth, because the citizens are seeing much higher electricity rates and they're starting to protest, and there are legal efforts that are starting to take place to bring down those prices, which makes it economically unfeasible for data centers to tap into all that power, you know, because then they would have to build their own data or power infrastructure, gas turbines and things like that. So because of that, it's becoming more economically feasible for the data center companies or the AI companies to look at orbital AI. And, you know, one of the big issues with AI data centers is heat dissipation. That's a huge part. It's like 40% of the energy consumption is getting rid of the freaking heat. And in space, you can get rid of the heat for free because the, you know, the background temperature of outer space away from the sun is pretty close to absolute zero. And so you can get rid of heat relatively easily there. So that saves a lot of cost right there. But of course, the launch cost is very high up front. But anyway, that's where it's going, is orbital AI data centers that can then scale, you know, way beyond the limitations of even land geography on planet Earth. At some point, you could scale, you know, you could have AI data centers like a ring around the sun in an orbit lower than Earth's orbit. Let's say, you know, an orbit between Earth and Venus or something, but closer to Earth because we don't want high latency. But all these orbital data centers could be just soaking up the sun's energy. It could be a whole ring around the sun. So that would create super intelligence, or at least the infrastructure for it. And then we're talking about, you know, structures that encircle the sun to harness the sun's energy. We're talking about tapping the energy of a star in order to power artificial intelligence, which would be, you know, unimaginable what that would actually create. So, and remember that one of the key elements that's needed to build microchips is just silicon, which is found on every beach on, you know, everywhere around the world. Sand, you can take sand, you can turn it into intelligence if you add power to it. So we've got plenty of sand, and then you just need to add sunlight and harness it correctly and build the circuits correctly and the microchips and the transistors, and then you create, you know, super intelligence. So that's the third reason to get good at doing things in space. And that's, in the long run, that's the bigger reason. In the short run, it's military dominance. In the long run, it's super intelligence. So, bottom line is NASA has got nothing to do with advancing science for the, you know, for the purpose of science or the public good or serving humanity or any of that garbage. It's all bullshit narratives. It's all about domination, weapons, super intelligence, and ultimately, you know, conquering the universe. And of course, they throw four astronauts in the ship because they're the mascots, you know. They might as well just put on like furry suits or something, because they're not there to do anything except to sell the propaganda. That's their only role. They're basically just tourists. It's really just pathetic. So anyway, that's the reality of what's happening. Thanks for listening. Mike Adams here. You can follow my podcast at brightvideos.com and my articles at naturalnews.com. Thank you for listening. Take care. We now have vitamin D3 plus K2 plus Aquaman, which is a seaweed calcium, available at healthrangerstore.com. Here, I've got it up on my site here. This is the Groovy Bee brand that we have, which is our in-house brand, healthrangerstore.com.
Again, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquamen. That's the brand of the seaweed calcium in a capsule format. Of course, it's laboratory tested for heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology and so much more. And it's certified ingredients, of course. And, you know, everything that we build for you in terms of a product is meticulously sourced. And one of the most difficult products to source is actually vitamin D3. It's extremely difficult because it turns out in the supply chain, almost all vitamin D has a bunch of sort of unnamed ingredients in it. And that's what our sourcing people found after a couple of years of trying to source a clean version of vitamin D3 that we finally found and nailed and put it in the formula and did all the lab testing and certification. So now it's available. So this synergistic combination, if you think about natural bone support, for example, or you think about the fact that so many people may not have sufficient levels of vitamin D for just optimal health and immune support and, you know, many other reasons to have vitamin D levels, this product can help you supplement that. And so it's available now, healthrangerstore.com, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquamen, 60 capsules available, shipping right now while supplies last. And in this environment where global supply chains are getting wrecked, you know, if this is something you want, get it now while we have supplies, because it's becoming more difficult and more expensive to source literally everything at this point. So anyway, thank you for your support. You can also find many other products, of course, hundreds of different products at healthrangerstore.com, including storable food. And right here we have our organic powdered chicken bone broth in a number 10 can, our turmeric root powder, and so much more. We've got so many amazing products for you to choose from, including tinctures, superfoods, storable foods, as well as freeze-dried fruits and vegetables in sealed number 10 cans. That's great for long-term storage. Plus, we have iodine, and that's a product that's moving very quickly because of concerns about, you know, global nuclear war, unfortunately. But you can find all of this. It's all laboratory tested. It's all certified. It's all meticulously sourced at healthrangerstore.com. And yeah, there we go. That's what the vitamin D3 looks like there. Thank you for supporting us, because we need your support in order to fund our platform. And so we can keep bringing you amazing interviews and content and free AI tools for knowledge and so much more. So thank you for supporting us. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for healthrangerstore.com.